We come to you right now in the name of your son, Jesus, just to say thank you. Lord, we just thank you. We just want to thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord, for waking us up this morning, for being who you are, for being our provider, for being our protector, Lord. That time where you told us to go right and we could have went left, Lord, and something bad could have happened, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. We just thank you for your knowledge and your protection, Lord. We just thank you, and we just ask that we would just be covered with the blood of Jesus right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. We just ask for forgiveness, Lord. We just, anything that we could have done knowingly and unknowingly, Lord, just forgive us. We're coming to you as humbly as we know how, Lord, just as humbly as we know how, Lord, just to ask for forgiveness. And we just want to thank you, Lord. We just ask that you just love us, Lord. We know that we can't possibly repay you for everything that we've done, Lord, but the things that we can do, Lord, we will do, Lord. We will clap our hands, Lord. We will stomp our feet, Lord. We will lift up your name, and we will sing praises unto you, Lord. And we may look crazy in front of some other people, but we don't care, Lord. We don't care. We're gonna praise your name, Lord. We're gonna lift the roof right off of here, Lord, praising your name, Lord. We're just gonna say thank you, Lord. We're gonna clap, Lord. We're just gonna praise your name, Lord. We're just gonna keep on doing it, and we don't care who sees, Lord. We don't care who sees. We don't care who's going to give us that awkward look or that awkward eye, Lord. We're going to keep on praising your name because we know that's what we're supposed to do, Lord. We are unashamed, Lord. We are unashamed, Lord. We are just going to keep on giving you that unashamed praise, Lord. We love you right now, Lord. We thank you and we praise your name, Lord. We just thank you for everything that you're doing, Lord. We just ask you to keep on moving through this service, Lord. We just keep on moving, even as the word comes forth, Lord. Just keep moving through this service, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we know that things are trying to come against us, Lord, but it doesn't matter, Lord, because we already have the victory. We just thank you for that. We thank you for you being on our side, Lord. We thank you for as much as you have done, and much as many people are on this earth. We know that you just looking and smiling and protecting and loving each and every one of us, as small and insignificant as we are, Lord. We just thank you. We thank you, all the people that you love, and we just thank you for being one of them, Lord. We just thank you. We just can't do anything else besides thank you, Lord. We just thank you. We ask that we, as we prepare our hearts for the word, Lord, that you just bring us a little bit closer to you, Lord. Just bring us a little bit closer and a little bit closer each day, and with each word, we just ask that you just bring us a little bit closer, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
God,
amen.
Is good. His mercy. That he lives.
Hallelujah. God is so good, and he's blessing us this morning, and we're going to keep right on enjoying the blessing. Hallelujah. We thank God for all that has gone on this morning. We thank him for the prayers, the praise, and the testimonies that have gone up in his name, the music that has been shared, the praises that have gone up. Lord, we know that you have something in store for us today. I've been struggling this morning, I making sure that I would deliver the word that the Lord would have me to deliver. I had to let him formulate this word in me today, and it covers a lot of different ground. And so I pray that you will pray for me in the process of delivering the word of God. We're going to start in the book of Samuel this morning, in chapter 8. And we're going to talk about leadership, and we talk about fellowship, if there's any such thing. But I want you to understand is, I want you to understand this, that there can be no leaders without followers. How many understand that? Because to lead means that you have some followers. And to follow means that you have a leader. Amen. And sometimes we find that poor leadership can cause followers to become disenchanted with the whole thing, the whole journey. The idea of being led is that you are headed somewhere and you have a vision of where you are going. But sometimes if leadership is not good, then you are willing to abandon the journey. And we want to say this morning that we will not abandon this journey because God is the leader of this flock. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank God. Let's pray a second. Just Father, in the name of Jesus, make your word come alive to us and help us to digest it. We thank you, Lord, for all that has gone on this morning. Be with us. Fill my mouth as I open it, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. Amen. I was at a banquet yesterday, a birthday celebration, and these things came up in the process of some of the sharing that went on, and we understood, and I can't seem to shake it, but it is important for all of us to understand that we all play a part. We have been talking about the importance of every member of the body of Christ functioning as he ought to. And we were in 1 Corinthians, and we were talking about this last week, and we talked about it in Bible study in Annapolis. And so it is that as we learn to function in the body, we must keep in mind what place we have in the body, and that every person in the body of Christ is of significance. You are not just taking up space. How many know that? All right. Now we're going to go to, as I said, 1 Samuel chapter 8. The Bible reads this way. And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of the second, Abiah. And they were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramoth and said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the other nations. This was quite unusual because to that time, Israel had no man as king. But it was a theocracy. And the prophet of the nation was the head of the nation. The Bible tells us when Samuel became old, he appointed his sons to be judges over Israel, and they didn't do the right thing. And so the people became disenchanted with his sons because they were lured by the possibilities of making money. And so they took bribes, and they were drawn away, as it says, to lucre. They're talking about filthy lucre, that unjust way of getting money. And so they became disenchanted with their whole idea of having a theocracy. And so they went to Samuel and said, we're not like the other nations. We want to be like the other nations around us. We want to have a king. And so you being the prophet, we want you to appoint over us a king so that we can be just like everybody else. Have you ever had the thought that you wanted to be just like everybody else? Children are that way. When they see a child that looks a certain way, that has a certain kind of hair, that has a certain kind of skin complexion, that has a certain behavior, they admire that other child and they want to be just like him or her. But you know, God has made each and every one of us unique within ourselves, and each member in the body of Christ is unique, doesn't have to look like the other one, and doesn't have to act like the other one, doesn't necessarily see everything that the other one sees, and doesn't necessarily do everything that the other one does. But they are now disenchanted. The people of Israel are disenchanted with leadership, and so they are now looking for a new kind of leadership. Not just new leaders, but a new kind of leadership altogether. But the thing displeased Samuel, the fact that they wanted a king, it was displeasing to him. The thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed to the Lord. Samuel probably was devastated because he felt as the prophet that he was probably all the king that they needed. Hallelujah. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me. Samuel, you feel bad because you're the prophet and the people have rejected you. They want a king. And God says, they have not rejected you. You forget. You represent me. So when they reject you, they have rejected me. Samuel was a good prophet, a good man of God. Didn't take no stuff. Hallelujah. And in life, it seems that we are always looking for good leadership. And sometimes it's hard to find. But those of us who know the Lord know for sure that the one who is the true leader of all men is God himself. And so we're not looking or depending on human agency for leadership. We now look to the leadership of the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to help us to make every decision that needs to be made in our lives. Sometimes leaders don't look like we think they ought to look like. But we want our leaders to look like the leaders that everybody else has. We demand that they have everything going for them that some other leaders have. And so we choose for ourselves leaders because we have become disenchanted with the leadership that we currently have. When I was in Vietnam, we had a lieutenant. He was in 1st Platoon. Somehow that day I got attached to 1st Platoon. And no, as a matter of fact, it was a company-wide thing. We were on a march. And this fellow was an odd-looking fellow. Lieutenant Chatterling. Sometimes we call him Chitterling. And he had, he was a tall, thin fellow with a nose that, you know, he could have played Pinocchio. And he was just a strange bird, but he was one of the leaders. He was the officer. He was a first lieutenant. And so when everybody else, you know, we were kind of, you know, all the grunts, we're grunts, you know, we're battle seasoned. And you know, we didn't even wear shirts. We just put on a flak jacket to protect us from that. But Lieutenant Chatterling, whom we eventually came to call Tom Terrific. That was his nickname. Tom Terrific. And we went on this mission, this operation, and Tom was out front. And we were going around this mountain. Now, Tom was odd because, as I say, he didn't wear a poncho or something like that to protect him for rain. Here he was in Vietnam wearing a full-fledged raincoat. You know what I mean, with London fog and, the, you know. So we were following, and Tom was going around the mountainside. And before we got around the mountain, since I was hilly in the back, I looked around and saw Tom behind me. Right away, that told me that we were walking around in circles. That means the leader didn't know where he was going. And so I'm saying to you, if you ever turn around and find your leader behind you, it means that you're walking around in circles. And when people walk around in circles, when leaders begin to go around in circles, people begin to get a little nervous. Hallelujah. And they start looking for new leadership. Hallelujah. So this is to all the leaders. Stay out in front, but don't go around in circles, because you'll wind up in the rear. And so it is that the people of Israel were disenchanted with this religious theocracy, and they wanted a king, because some of those who were appointed by Samuel, mainly his sons, were not doing what was right, and they became disenchanted with the kind of government that they had. They had started off with just the prophet being the head of state. They decided that they wanted a king to be the head of state. Now, some of you may know that so much is going on in Rome with the Pope. Of course, you know that that is a sovereign state. It is a nation city. And the proletariat of that nation city is the Pope. He is the ruler of that nation. It is basically a theocracy and a religion at the same time. So anyway, I just brought that so that you'd know that. They were disenchanted with the fact that they had a religious leadership, sons of the prophets, judging them, and they had become corrupt, and so they were tired of everything that was going on, and so they said, give us a king. And the prophet was all sad. Oh, Lord, they have rejected me. And any of y'all ever been sad like that when you've been rejected? Oh, Lord, they have rejected me. You find yourself being rejected even on your job or wherever you are in life because you represent King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They're not rejecting you because of you. You're being rejected because of who you represent. You can always find somebody that's supposed to represent God well who is not representing him well, and they will always use that for an excuse. They can look at others and say, oh, they're just in it for the money. There'll always be somebody in it for the money. There will always be somebody willing to take a bribe, but that's not you, and that's not me. We're in it to represent the Lord, and when we are rejected because we represent God and want to put forth into the community and into this world the precepts of God, and because the world wants nothing to do with God, you may be rejected. When you are rejected, this is just the one thing I want to say. Remember, they are not rejecting you. They are rejecting the God in you. It is therefore important for all of us to display God well. And to be leaders that are above reproach. Leaders that don't just go around in circles, but are heading toward a promised land. Having a vision in front of us. Those who go around in circles, pretty soon, if you go around that circle so many times, you'll figure out that, hey, I got to break out of this thing. We've been going around in circles much too long. We're like the wandering tribes of Israel. We talked about this once before, that these wandering tribes get so used to wandering. Scattered sheep get so used to being scattered that they can't envision a stable situation. The wandering tribes cannot envision a great nation because they're going around and around and around. And they get used to going around and around and around. And I'm saying to everybody in here today, don't get used to going around in circles. Don't get used to wandering. But have a vision of a stable, stable environment. Folk that are in temporary housing sometimes get so used to temporary housing that they lose the vision of a stable environment. We need to learn to go from temporary housing to that mansion estate. The mansion has got to be the vision. Otherwise, we'll become used to content in our present situation. Now, when I say that, I'm not talking about physical housing. I hope you have your spiritual ears on. We're talking about becoming satisfied with that which is less than perfect. A message that I wrote down a long time ago I believe is appropriate for today. Because when we have those who come into the church, people come into the church with expectations. A good deal of their expectation is based on the leadership of the church. They want to know. They've got to know. What do you have to offer me? I have a surprise for you. The leadership has a question for you. What do you have to offer the church? We have had a lot of people come in and out of the church because they've had expectation of receiving, and we need people to come into the church who have something to give to the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because if not, we will have people, more people in the church looking to receive than those who are willing to give. And then when you have that situation, you have a lot of confusion in the works of the church. Sometimes I call it, and this was something that just came to me when this message was given, working in tongues. Working in tongues, what does that mean? You know, I'm saying it in that sense sarcastically, because the works that we are doing need an interpreter. We need to have an interpretation. You understand? It's not clear what we're doing. And when it's not clear what we're doing, we need to back up and rethink what we're doing and get in line with what God wants us to do. Our works sometimes don't match our words. You say you love me, but you continually abuse me. Confusion. Works don't match the words. Therefore, I need an interpretation of what you call love. If you love me and you abuse me, I need to know what's your definition of love. You say you've been praying for me, but you tell your friends, he's a hopeless case. I need to know, what is your definition of hope? What language is it that you're speaking? Because I can't understand it. Your words don't match your works. Hallelujah. If we go back into 1 Corinthians, we find out what love is all about. It says it suffers long. Suffers long. It's kind. It says love is kind. And if I put that in an equation, the equation would have to say love equals kind. Is that right? Love is kind. Love equals kind. Is that good math? Yeah. Okay, love equals kind, therefore what? Kind equals love. And if there's anything that's not kind, guess what? It's not love. Hallelujah. Huh? Is that right? I need an interpretation of your love. It says that love envieth not. It's not jealous. It doesn't envy me for what I have. It doesn't envy. I don't envy you for what you have. But if I do, it tells me that I'm deficient in love. I need to get my love walk right. You see, those Israelites said they love God, but they weren't satisfied with having the man of God rule over them. Where was the love? Confusion, their words or their works don't match their words. Hallelujah. It says that love vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. When it's all about me, and if you don't do it my way, I'm subject to throw a fit and walk out because you're not doing it my way. You're not saying what I want you to hear. And so I question whether or not you're willing to bear with me, because it said it suffers long. If there's anything out of the way or anything wrong with me, are you willing to love me until I get it right? If I'm wrong, because maybe you might be wrong. Hallelujah. And it says it doth not behave itself unseemingly. If I am always in a tizzy, is it love? Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. Is it love? Why couldn't the elders come to Samuel and say, Samuel, we got a problem with these two that you have appointed. We know that you're the man of God. Pray that God will choose some righteous leadership. But they were ready to throw in the whole thing. We want to be just like everybody else. Sometimes we find ourselves, especially those of us in little churches like this, where we want to be just like everybody else. The truth is, our body is vital. It's vital to the kingdom of God. It's vital to this community. It doesn't do what other churches do, and they don't do what we do in that same way. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, and guess what? It never fails. That's what love does. It never fails. Failing here means that it never is cut off. It's like turning on the spigot. and letting it run. And never turning it off. When we turn it off, the waters fail. That's what love is all about. It is a faucet that never stops running. Water that never stops flowing. Hallelujah. And so, we see that when we properly define, interpret, and live love, the works that we do will be works that will glorify God. We need to confirm within ourselves that we have trust in God and we're not willing to throw in the towel just because a little trouble comes our way. What language is it that we are speaking? Maybe it's body language. We keep saying, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. The problem is, I have a deadline for all things. And if I don't get the all things done, when I think the all things should be done, if he doesn't empower me to do the all things on my timetable, then I'm ready to throw away the vision of the all things. Because I'm going to tell you something, all things take time. Hallelujah. All things take time. And so, when I have a deadline for the all things that I want done, and beyond the deadline, I'm no longer willing to do the all things, I need an interpretation of faith. Huh? Because my works don't match my words. Quitting is not an act of faith. It is a denial of the truth. Because the truth is that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. It might take time. The Bible tells us plainly that you have need of patience that you may inherit the promises of God. That's why it says love is patient. You need patience. We all need patience. Just because one thing happens, it doesn't mean that everything is over. We reach one obstacle, we hurdle through it, we power through it, we pray through it, we don't back up from it. We continue to go forward. We ain't going around it because it might be a mountain. And when you start going around mountains, you wind up going in a circle. And it's hard to get out of a circle. I need an interpretation of your faith. And if I can't understand the interpretation that you give me of your faith, then I need to see some works. How should I interpret your works? Because sometimes the works take a long time or a long time coming. We have in the church ministers who will only preach in certain places under certain conditions. Deacons who will only serve when they have nothing else better to do. Now, this is not specific, this is general words. Musicians who will only praise God if there is a dollar to be made. I need to understand what is the meaning of works like this. I need an interpretation. Tell me what it is that motivates us to have all of these obstacles to producing what God wants us to produce in our lives. What is it that, how do all these things get in the way of our prosperity? Because our prosperity only comes when we are able to use what God has given us. It only comes when we're able to see the vision of God manifest itself in our daily lives. It only comes when we are willing to allow our works to match our words. The Bible says that we should seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, he says, shall be added unto us. But we're seeking things. We're seeking lifestyle. Everything ahead of the kingdom of God. And then we have conditions whereby in our secular society that we will not let God in on, and we still want God to bless it. Believe me, he will not bless it. But I tell you what he will do. Just as he said to Samuel, listen to the people and give them what they want. Listen to the people and give them what they want. That's how God deals with rebellion. He will give you what you want. If you're trying to figure out how all of this same-sex marriage came into place, it came into place because that's what the people want. And God said, give them what they want. They have not rejected you. They have rejected me. Hallelujah. That's how the world works. Give them what they want. That's a dangerous place to be in, to have God give you what you want. Somewhere in Thessalonians, it tells us of the things that will be going on in the end time. Homosexuality is one of the big things that they say is going on. So not only men, but women working that thing which is unseemly. He said, therefore, God gave them up. Hallelujah. He gave them up. He gave them up and gave them over to do what they wanted. He said, give them what they want. If that's what they want, give it to them. And so we have to be careful about what we want today. You have to measure what's in your heart. What do you want? What's in your heart today? Because if it's not in line with God and God's plan, if you keep persisting, on having it your way, God will say, give him or her what he or she wants. Give them what they want. You want a lifestyle without God? God will give it to you. Hallelujah. But if you want the kingdom of God to rule in your life, if you want the King of Kings as the ruler in your life, God will give it to you. He will give you the desires of your heart. Sometimes we don't know even what's on the inside, but it becomes evident by the actions that we take. It is by what we do that God knows what we really want. We need to interpret the love that we have. We need an interpretation for the light that we say is in us. Because Jesus said this, if the light in you is darkness, then how dark is the darkness? If sin is the best thing about you, good Lord, what is the worst thing? We've got to come to the place where we understand how important it is to have good desire on the inside. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus sprinkled upon our hearts so that our conscience will be clear and holy. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Will you serve God or will you serve the King? Hallelujah. And that question is, will you serve the kingdom of God or the kingdom of this world? Hallelujah. I trust that we will all come to the conclusion that only God can make a difference in our lives. We are reaching rapidly the place of decision. Now, you might not believe it, but you're just about there where you will have to make a decision. You may not understand it this morning, but I bet you 60 days may not pass before you will understand what I'm saying to you. That's just my guess. That don't mean that's right. But I tell you, there's time, there's a time coming when you'll have to be on solid ground with the Lord. And you will have to want his rulership. You will have to choose between the kingdoms of this world, the kingdom of our God. Between being ruled by the Holy Spirit or being ruled by wicked men. Hallelujah. 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 Don't let your work and your labor that you've labored all these years be in vain. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. Amen. God bless you this morning.